shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No!
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you!
Welcome back, Interweb friends, to Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies, we make fun of them. I am your interim curator today, I guess. Alex is taking care of his children. This week we are reviewing The Last Witch Hunter from last year, right? 2015? Starring Vin Diesel. And I was surprised to find out it also starred Elijah Wood and Michael Caine. Because I don't know about you guys, but I didn't even watch a trailer for this movie. So when Michael Caine popped up, I was like, is that Michael Caine?
All I really remembered, you know, in the advertisements for the movie was Vin Diesel very obviously enjoying himself, swinging a flaming sword, finally getting to live out his Dungeons and Dragons fantasies. And so, yeah, I didn't know they were in there either.
Well, I didn't even know that it took place, like, it took place in modern day. For some reason, like, I had seen maybe a trailer when it came out, and I thought it took place, like, in
the,
1600s, 1700s.
The promotional material milked the period scenes like hardcore. Like it was very difficult to see what kind of it kind of had a timeless quality to it, at least in the trailers that I saw.
Yeah, so I was surprised. I literally
was thinking it was more like Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters is kind of what I was expecting, more that style.
Yeah, well,
like modernized.
Yeah.
10th
century. So I knew very little going into it, and I think I know less now that I've actually watched it. I'm very confused by this movie. But we will.
It's such a simple premise at its core, but it is confusing as to what, you know, you're like, what, why, what's going on?
Well, there are interesting elements there, and we'll get into it, but some of the concept, like Jack, I watched it with Jack, and he mentioned a couple of things. He's like, well, that's actually a pretty cool concept, but then just the, when he mixed in the rest of it, it just didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So the movie starts out in, I don't even know.
They don't say. I think he says 800 years ago. We're just going to say medieval times. They look to me like they were Vikings.
Times. Yeah.
The times, not the restaurant.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be awesome if it started there.
They're eating a turkey leg at medieval times.
But it starts with Vin Diesel. His name is Calder, his character's name. He's a witch hunter. And I didn't pick this up watching the movie, but later on reading the synopsis on Wikipedia, I guess there was a witch who had caused the Black Plague... And
that must have killed his family. It
killed his family, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what, according to Wikipedia, I didn't catch that at all. Because I know at one point when we were watching, you're like, they didn't say how his family died.
Yeah,
they don't. I guess it was in the Black Plague.
They milk it all through the movie. The character's driving force is his family died, and that drives him wanting to kill witches, but it also is the pain that he kind of keeps with him, and why he keeps people distant is because his wife and daughter died, but they never quite said how.
Yeah, they just keep showing flashbacks of his family, and he sees his daughter, and I don't remember them saying that they died in the Black Plague. But anyways, the witch causes Black Plague, killed his family, so he and some other witch hunters go hunt witches
I guess
somewhere.
I don't even know where they are. I was wondering if this was like, if these were actual witch hunters, or if this was just like an angry mob looking for some medieval superstitious witch justice.
You don't
want
to confuse your professional witch hunters with your amateur witch hunters. Your weekend warrior types.
Yeah. I think they were amateur, but he went pro after this.
They didn't have the duck with them to weigh the witch to make sure that she was a witch. So I thought that was a little bushy.
It was his first witch tourney. He won it, so he got to go pro.
So they go to, I don't even know where they are. It's like a tree.
It's like a gigantic tree that's kind of like that tree in 300, except it's not made out of dead people.
Yeah. They go to this witch's hideout. And
they imply she's like the first witch later on in the movie.
She's the queen witch. They keep calling her the queen witch. I don't know if that means she's the first witch or not, but she's like the ultimate witch somehow.
She's like made out of tree bark.
Yeah. So, go ahead. So they hunt her down and they... I think some of them fight her, but they fail, and then Vin Diesel fights her, and he's got like a flaming sword.
Yes. What was the name of that sword? Do you remember? It had some
name. Was there
name.
A name?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't until later that he gave it a name.
Oh, he said it later? Okay.
Yeah, I didn't catch that.
It had some like mercury that like came out of the handle, or like some oil, but it like filled in the runes on the blade, and then it set on fire, and I was thinking, flaming sword, that's pretty cool. I'm sorry, I'm a nerd.
I 100% guarantee that was Vin Diesel's thought on it too.
Oh, yeah.
the man, I mean, it's well documented that he is a huge Dungeons and Dragons fan. And I guarantee you, when they were in pre-production for the movie, him and the director would talk. The director's going, "All right, so then you'll have a flaming sword here. We'll CGI the flames in." And Vin went, No. I'm going to have an actual sword that's on fire. I don't care if you have to strap a propane tank to my back. I want to swing a flaming sword. And Vin Diesel is powerful enough now that...
Yeah.
Yes, sir, Mr. Diesel. Yeah. And you know what? I'm happy for him that he got to live his dream.
Well, I think he based his whole character on his Dungeons & Dragons character.
I have no doubt.
That's what IMDb said.
The movie is basically 2 hours of Vin Diesel LARPing.
Yeah.
And you know what? Good for him.
Well, when you're... he kind of defies the stereotype, right? You think about D&D. There's a stereotype there. There's the dateless kind of smelly guy sitting alone in a dank basement rolling dice.
And are you saying Gary Gygax is not a heartthrob?
I mean, no offense, but this is the stereotype that exists in when you think D&D. The first word in your head is, "Oh my God, this is a nerd. Get a social life or whatever." But when you see someone like Vin Diesel, who's like one of the highest paid action movie stars, and you know he's all, you know, like in shape, and he's intense, and he's famous, and you think, "Oh, he plays D&D." It kind of defies your expectations and shows that this really isn't just a thing for...
I'm pretty sure he's the exception to the rule, though.
I think he'd be surprised. I don't think
most of them are Vin Diesel.
I think he'd be surprised. I think he'd be surprised.
I don't know. I never played it, so I don't know.
He's what they aspire to, and I appreciate him for that.
Yeah. I don't aspire to his acting skills, but...
Yeah, he didn't even seem like he was having fun here. But anyway, so he kills this witch somehow.
Well, he's got the flaming sword, and I guess that's the witch killer. And he stabs her.
Oh, that's what it was called. It was called witch killer in German or something.
Was it?
Yeah, he says something that sounded Eastern European, and then he said, it means witch killer. And then he like sticks it in the sheath and throws it on his back before the final battle.
Now, I just want to stop here and say, I'm always amazed at how much Jack remembers about movies, because when you watch a movie with Jack, he talks through 80% of it. But somehow, as he talks, he is also bringing in information.
It's called multitasking.
Absorbing the movie.
It's like, you know,
this is why I miss most of the movie, by the way.
Sorry,
but Jack remembers these things I didn't even pick up on. It amazes me that he can.
It's like you can surf the web and burn a Blu-ray and you know have a download going at the same time. It's that kind of thing.
For you,
it's
how
my brain works.
Mine doesn't
work. Higher function.
He stabs his witch, and as she's dying, she curses him. She says, "I'm going to give you the curse of eternal life," because she knows his family's dead, and he doesn't want to live forever, obviously.
That's part of the reason why he took on the witch in the first place, is because he has nothing to lose.
Yeah, to get it was like a suicide mission. So she said, you know, screw you, here's eternal life, you're going to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
So she then dies, and he's, like, burning up, and then it cuts to modern day.
New York City. Oh, no, he's on an airplane. I'm sorry, they're on an airplane, and they're flying to New York.
Yeah.
They're on, like,
Right, Jack.
Yeah.
This is why you got to pay attention when you're watching a movie.
That's right. I'm sorry I had that brief slip. Well, I was kind of hoping everyone on the plane was going to suddenly vanish and that the rapture was going to happen. And then because he lives forever, he's going to have to live forever on a planet with nobody.
No. Except for Nicolas Cage.
Except for Nicolas Cage. He should have been the pilot.
Yes.
He like breathes on a window and he sees a rune which tells him there's magic on the plane.
Yeah. Which, did he know that? Did he get on the plane because there was magic on it? Or was it just happening?
I'm not clear about this.
On a magic plane.
I am really not clear about this.
I'm pretty sure he suspected because he... Because he seemed to know what she had that was causing this, so
yeah,
I'm guessing he was actually looking for her. And...
Yeah, so he like fogs up the window, sees there's like magic rune or whatever, and he gets up and he like walks down the aisle and he finds a girl who she has like a mark on her or something. Is that right? Or there's some reason somehow he realizes that she was
he
a
can
witch.
Sense her. There's what was it? There's like.
He like drops something or spills.
He had like a needle. He took a needle and dropped.
Oh, that was right. He took a staple out of a piece of paper, dropped it in a glass of water, and used it like a compass to find the witch. Probably because there's some kind of like element, like iron in it or something. Goes back to
So like points to her and
witches are magnetic.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So he sits down next to her and he's like, "Oh, yeah, you give it to me." And she's like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Yeah, you give it to me." And she's like, "Oh, okay." And so she gives
Vin Diesel is spot on in this movie anyway.
So she gives him some, it's like, it's a weather rune, but it's like, I can't even explain.
It's like a stone. He has these three stones and he says, you're really lucky these things didn't get wet. And he confiscates them. And this is where we learn something about his character. She's all scared of him. And she says, oh my God, you're the immortal witch hunter. Are you going to like kill me or arrest me? And he says something like, no, sweetheart, I just saved you from killing yourself. Basically, he's saying, and he says, enjoy New York City. And that's how we know that's where they're going.
Yeah.
So basically, he lets this girl off the hook because she looks like this teenager who, and the implication, I think, what they're trying to sell is he's a witch hunter, but he's not a witch killer.
Well, they kind of get in that later.
So he takes pity on this girl and he's like, what? You don't even know what you're doing. This is like higher level magic than you're even worth. Just get out of my sight and don't mess with this stuff again, kind of thing.
Yeah, because they go into it later on where
a little compassion.
Where this organization he's a part of doesn't really kill witches anymore. They kind of just imprison them. They kind of just put him in the witch's prison.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
And they never really get into that.
Yeah.
They try to bring it back in the toilet.
It didn't work, but. Yeah. He saves the plane from this weather ruin, which was going to
cause down the plane, maybe, because the thunderstorm.
There's like a lot of turbulence and stuff.
Yeah, there's a thunderstorm that they're flying into with lots of green lightning. And then after he takes the runes, it goes away. Yeah. But,
So he saves everyone on the plane, he lands. And he goes home it goes to then Michael Caine. In a voiceover where Jack and I both went, is that Michael
Caine? Michael Caine. Some men aren't looking for any witches. I can't do his voice today.
That was pretty good. That was better than the other night. The other night you were doing Australian.
So. I know. He's hard. Michael Caine is very hard to pin down.
Paul Hogan, the witch hunter.
I mean, we could have gotten anyone else in this movie, and it would have been easier. But Michael Caine, whose impersonation always eludes me.
Someday we'll get it.
Our Jaws 4 episode, you're pretty spot on.
Pretty good. I'll say. Pretty good. It takes time. It takes time to get it out there. See, that's awful. I'm sorry. Anyway, so we were both simultaneously. We're like, what the? Yeah, that's Michael Caine. What's he doing in this movie? It's like
paying bills.
What? Yeah. I guess so. Well, I thought. I don't know. I we'll get to it.
So, well, he explains in his voiceover that he is what they call a Dolan, which is like a priest in this organization called like the Axe and Cross or something.
Yeah, they're called the Axe and Cross.
Which he's like charged with recording Calder's like achievements and what he like his history and all these things.
Basically,
he does.
His personal secretary.
Yeah, and also keeping charge of.
He's his dungeon master. He keeps score. As he kills. Yeah,
And the secret
level 27 ogre rolled a 19. Used sword of flaming power with a +10 defense against magic spells.
Wow. That's impressive. So this secret organization is what Calder is working for, and they hunt down witches and evil and all this stuff. So
yes.
This is basically what he explains in his voiceover. So then he goes to Calder's apartment where he explains.
And of course, Calder's apartment's like Highlander style. It's decked out with historical things from throughout time.
Yeah.
Like ancient paintings on the wall, and like classical music is playing, and it's some 80s nice fashion pad. There too. He's got a pretty sweet pad there. Yeah, that kind of shows like a.
There's big money in witch hunting.
There must be. I mean, he must have like, I don't know. I guess he just amassed wealth over the years, antique selling. But anyway, this is kind of the first.
You get the real estate cheap when it's first on the market several hundred years ago.
That's a good point. That's a good point. You buy in early. the idea of the priests is the first concept that I liked. So this guy's been alive for centuries. And every couple of years, he gets this priest who follows him around, sort of like his personal scribe or whatever. And he dies or retires, and he gets a new one. And he's a young man who grows old with him, but he never ages. I like that idea.
Yeah.
I'm the 36th Dolan. I want to retire. You're going to get the 37th Dolan, which, of course, they eventually introduce.
Which is another surprise for me.
Yes, for me too.
But he's kind of going on about how he's about to retire, and like Jack said, he's got this kid who's going to take over. And Vin Diesel's like, are you sure you want to retire? It's I'm just getting used to you, whatever. And he's like, no, I'm retired. So it goes to the ceremony the next day, right? Where they're
Before the ceremony the next day, Michael Caine gets killed.
Is that before the ceremony or after?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is before it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is before, because he, like, gets the call or whatever, and they're like, oh.
He gets a call. He gives him this really, really ancient pen. He gives him, like, this pen from, like, the 1700s, and he has his name engraved on it. And he says, I know that reduces the value, but you mean so much to me. And they have this little, like, they're brothers kind of thing. And he leaves, and he's ready to meet his new Dolan, and then he gets a phone call that the Dolan has been murdered in his home. So now what begins to happen is we get introduced to...
to the 37th
Elijah Wood.
Which is Elijah Wood. Which, again, I was like, what is happening with the casting of this movie?
And what begins is, for about 20 minutes or less, we get a setup for like a buddy cop situation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where Dolan, where D-37 and Calder are basically trying to investigate the death of D-36.
Yes. Yeah, so they go to, I think they go to his apartment first.
Yes.
Because they're not sure how he died. I think it's like, oh, he died in his sleep. He's super old or whatever.
Yeah.
So they investigate his apartment, and that's where Calder, through whatever means, finds out there was magic, traces of magic in the apartment. In the department. What? In the apartment.
In the Dolan. Well, it is called a department. If you're a Dolan, you get the D.
Not working right now. So they find out there's magic there, and he's like, oh, someone killed him then because there's magic here. So they go to, I don't even know how they get there. There's like a bug, or there's bugs in the floor.
They're flies. They're like flies, and basically, his logic is, one fly got there, it could be coincidence. Two flies, someone left the window open. But three flies? And I'm like, three flies means maybe you should invest in some fly paper or get an exterminator or something.
Three flies isn't that bad.
It's like, it's just flies. They get in sometimes. Yeah. It's what are you telling me? The window was closed when we got in.
Well, you think you know better than Vin Diesel?
I guess.
He's been around for a second.
You know,
that's right. You look ashamed. Look ashamed. Look sorry. That's right.
So they go to this, well, he's a warlock, right? This blind guy.
He's a 14th level warlock, which now I would like to say, I just assumed the ending of the movie was confusing to me because as the movie went along, I had been drinking. A little bit of wine here and there, you know.
Helps Vin Diesel.
I had just opened the bottle at the line, he's a 14th level warlock.
And then you just put the glass down and took a swig.
And I thought, I probably don't need to drink with this movie. I'm going to find it entertaining enough on its own. I continue to drink anyways. But yeah, that was... I think this was my favorite line in the whole movie.
My favorite line is coming up soon.
Because when the movie was getting put together, I have no doubt that Vin Diesel played a very strong part in the whole production of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see if he was listed as one of the producers or not. But he had to know when he said that line... just how cheesy and campy it would come across. And I loved the hell out of it. I find it hard to hate Vin Diesel anyways. I don't know why.
I feel it.
And well, I do think his acting was subpar in this movie compared to most of his
work. Yeah.
His acting work. That line right there, I was just like, you go, Vin.
Yeah.
You go.
14th level. So go see this 14th level warlock who's like, somehow associated with bugs, like he's...
Well, that's like his magic, is he's got all these CGI butterflies flying around him, and he's obviously blind because his eyes are like really like clouded over, and he's just kind of like surrounded by bugs, and he tells Vin Diesel that a couple of guys stopped by his shop to buy... he's been selling dark magical objects, because Vin Diesel, kind of like in a cop flick, and this say these were drugs and not magical things, is kind of like, you've been selling drugs. No way, man. I sell herbal supplements. No, you were selling drugs. We're just selling drugs. All right, fine. A guy came in. He wanted a little taste. I told him where to get it. It's basically that scene, except instead of drugs, it's magic. You were selling evil magic. You were selling dark magic spells. No. I swear. I just told the guy where to get it. How do we find him? He smelled like arsenic. Then Vin Diesel says, in the Civil War, they used to embalm people with arsenic. So whoever we're looking for hangs out at a funeral home. And I was thinking to myself, from like 1863,
dude had a magical sense of smell. And Vin Diesel's very knowledgeable about magic.
And he's been around for a long time, assuming he's fought
the Civil War. He read the player's handbook for the game. So he picked up that information.
Do you think he had the Monster Manual?
Oh, absolutely.
How about the Book of Vile Darkness?
Vin Diesel has all the books.
Yes!
Let's be honest.
And he didn't download that shit. You know, he's got him a hardcover.
One of his first purchases after that Saving Private Ryan check came through was, I'm going to get the complete D&D library. He's got them all. He knows what he's doing.
Nice. I believe it.
Nice.
So it cuts to then a kid is like walking down the street in New York and wanders down like an alley. Yeah. And there's like candy trees in this like back lot of this building.
Gummy bears.
Gummy bears.
He follows a trail of gummy bears to the back alley. And I'm thinking this kid is totally going to get like eaten like Hansel and Gretel style.
Yeah. I think that's what they're going for, because he starts like gathering up all the candy, and then all of a sudden Vin Diesel's there, and he's like, "Didn't your mother ever tell you not to eat candy off of trees?" And I was like, "I don't remember my mom ever telling me that."
That specific lesson never really no.
Really, because I had that drilled into my head since I was six. Right. Don't eat candy off of trees. Oh, sorry. No. And now the tree is all of a sudden decrepit and old. Yeah. Now I wondered what was the motivation behind this, because the guy they find, this crazy Irish guy, who's like a junkie living in this old house, why would he want to lure a random child back there?
This is killing time.
I think it's one of those things where it's best not to investigate too much. And we don't need to go that far down a dark alley.
Which is lure children.
They had to keep this movie PG-13, so they had to keep that scene out. They couldn't let, you know, like a vicious child murder be in the movie.
Exactly.
I see. Okay.
So Vin Diesel goes into the building and he finds the witch guy, or I guess he's a warlock. What are you looking at?
Some guy was just creeping around my car.
It's a witch.
Hit it.
I'm gonna hit the alarm.
So
he's looking out the window, so hit the alarm.
So
it's probably just a passerby.
So Vin Diesel goes in the building. He finds this guy, and he fights him, beats him up, and what's he get out of the guy? Some information. I can't remember. I couldn't really.
He gets information. He gets a name, I think, and then they turn him in. They take him to like a witch's jail, and this is where Elijah Wood has a little bit of a funny scene where he like kicks the guy in the groin, and he says. He kicks the guy in the, like the guy makes some comment like screw you or whatever, you know, tell me where he is, screw you or whatever he says, and Elijah Wood knees him in the groin and he goes ooh, and then Vin Diesel looks at Elijah Wood, who says I'll confess it later, and he throws him into the jail cell. I thought that was probably my favorite line in the movie because it began to build up where I hoped, as cliche as it is, at least I was hoping that we're going to go that direction. Mm-hmm. Was this sort of like Elijah Wood is sort of this, he's not what you'd expect at first. He's straight-laced and he's nerdy and he's incredibly conservative because he's like a 25-year-old priest or whatever. And then all of a sudden he does these little things, like he meets the guy in the groin and he says, "What? I'll confess it later." And he throws him in the jail cell.
We should mention too that earlier in the movie when he meets Vin Diesel, he says like, "Oh, we met before when I was a child. You saved me from witches in my." They killed my parents, burned down the house.
And he's got this horrible burn scar on his hand.
Right. So he's like, "You saved my life from witches when I was a kid." So like,
it's foreshadowing.
Yes, he comes back later.
Yes.
So somehow they get back to, Vin Diesel realizes that Michael Caine might not be dead. I can't remember how. There's some reason that he's like, "Oh, wait, Michael Caine's not dead."
He is one of those kind of stares off into the distance. Wait a second.
Yeah.
If A plus B... then C.
Yeah. It might have been something this witch guy said, but he, so he goes back to Michael Caine and
it's
like,
basically the ending of an episode of House.
Yes.
Like, wait a second.
So he goes back to where Michael Caine's body is and he like, you know, uses some magic or whatever and realizes he's not dead. He's actually just cursed. And, He presses against his chest
and like lights a match and like he breathes fire almost. So what does Michael Caine's character, does D-36 like breathe like flammable gas, like methane or something?
Spicy burrito.
There we go. But basically, this is where I thought was stupid, because
the
now it was
Looper brought now, to you by Taco Bell.
Now it was,
we will accept sponsors.
We will. God, thank you very much.
Thank you for sponsors.
First, I thought this was, again, it's pretty cliche, but still. You murdered my friend. Now I got to find the witch that did it. And then this leads him to discover an even greater horrible truth. But now it becomes this stupid idea where, no, wait, there's a chance to save his life, even though we've already embalmed him. You know, I'm assuming they already embalmed him and they didn't just lay his unprepared corpse for public viewing in a funeral home that also happened to be the same funeral home where these bad guys were hanging out. You know, I mean, it's weird. Like, why is that even there? It should simply have been the Dolan was killed. They would have saved money because they wouldn't have had to pay Michael Caine anymore for showing up again. And they could have said, the Dolan is dead, and then we can develop Elijah Wood a little bit more. I don't know. And then maybe end the movie with Elijah Wood as an old man or something. I don't know.
They didn't go that route.
No.
So he somehow...
Vin Diesel wanted to hang out with Michael Caine, okay? Basically, my idea behind every...
Flaming Sword and Michael Caine.
My thought behind every single decision this movie makes is Vin Diesel thought, hey, this means I can do X. And you know what? He's made a ton of money with the Fast and Furious movies. Hollywood's going to say, you got it, Vin.
There you go.
There you go.
So he surmises that whoever it was who cursed the Dolan did it because they were going to torture him, get some information or something. It's like this certain curse like was meant to get information out of him. Yeah. So somehow by following some clues, he leaves.
Well, first of all, he leaves Elijah Wood behind for like virtually an entire act. And then he goes to this club, like this nightclub.
Well, because somehow Michael Caine like leaves him a clue telling him to like look into his own death, like remember his death.
That's it. You have to remember your own death. Yeah. So he goes looking for someone who has what's called a memory potion.
Yeah, and like which allows you
to kind of like the Matrix to jack into your own head and to place yourself into a memory. So you can experience it at such a vivid level, it's as if it's happening, so you could pick up every minute detail instead of being glossed over by, like, you know, how memories usually are. Yeah, by 800 years of nonsense. So he goes to a bar, and all the waitresses at the bar are, like, scared of him because clearly they're witches, and they go to take off, and the one girl stays, who, of course, is the girl of the movie. And they have this little playful conversation about how much he's going to pay for, like, a memory potion. And then he takes the memory potion and then goes to sleep. She's like injects it in a cherry. He eats the cherry and then she's goofing around and she's going to show off that she has a selfie with the immortal witch killer, which is kind of like the blade of this universe. Mm-hmm. So she's taking a selfie and then he pops the cherry out of his mouth and he says, be nice. And then she says, sorry. And then he eats it. So did he not eat the cherry? I know I kind of rushed that at high speed, but basically nothing happens. They introduce each other. She agrees to make him a memory potion. She injects it in a cherry. He eats the cherry, but didn't really. Did he expect her to try to take a selfie of him?
I think he decided to wait a few seconds just because, well,
just in
she
case.
Was kind of freaking out at the sight of him in the bar. So I probably just, it was just a setup for a joke, I think, more than anything else.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel wanted to make a joke here, so.
Okay, Vin.
Again.
We need a joke.
Any decision this movie makes.
Free reign.
Is because if Vin Diesel thought this would be funny, or this would be cool, or I just want to swing a flaming sword.
Do you think the flaming sword possibly was drenched in diesel before they ignited it? Like diesel with diesel?
I'm surprised he didn't
use the flaming sword. I got nothing to add to that joke. I like that one.
Thank you. Yeah, usually my puns are not as well received.
So he eats this magic cherry and he goes into his memory of when he died, when he killed this witch. I guess he didn't really die.
Well, apparently what happened was he stabbed the witch with the flaming sword. She started to burn to death and she said, I curse you with eternal life. And then the flame expanded to his body and they both burned together.
Right.
But when his friends came...
Right, that's not. You don't find this out until later, Jack.
We know as an audience that he somehow survived this.
Yes.
So at first his corpse was a burning cinder, then it came back.
Yes, it's established that if you're cursed by a witch, if you kill that witch, then the curse goes away.
Yes.
But he's obviously still cursed.
Yeah.
So there's some mystery here as to what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
But before he can find out, some guy shows up in his memory and is like, hey, don't look at this. I'm gonna burn the bar down.
Yep.
So he like somehow gets him out of the memory, which leaves Vin Diesel all like drunk and stuff. On he's like, you know, oh, I got pulled out of a memory once and it really screwed my brain up or whatever. So he's all like screwed up from being pulled out of his memory.
Yeah.
And by this point, I was further along in the bottle of wine.
You were feeling I was thinking
it was, strangely enough, this scene made perfect sense to me. it and I were both off kilter in the same way. Yeah.
I was thinking this was a lot like the scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where the Nazis come in and burn down Karen Allen's bar. So I was kind of expecting that. And she's kind of like hiding behind the bar and, you know, trying to, I don't know, stop him. And Vin Diesel's all like off his, you know, off his game. But the bad guy in this case makes a clever escape.
Yeah, because they start fighting and he's like beating Vin Diesel, and he sets fire to the bar, and then he uses some magic to like disappear through the floor.
He like turns, he like creates a hole made out of like roots.
Yeah.
And then he just reappears at an alley.
Yeah. So he escapes through this root hole, and Vin Diesel can't stop him. So, but Vin Diesel's still like all screwed up, and the girl, I can't remember what her name is, the witch there.
Chloe, I think.
Chloe, yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, she's got some magic thing that she's trying to get him out of his drunken stupor.
Yeah.
And he's like, he thinks she's a witch, so he's like choking her, I guess she is a witch, but
he thinks she's the witch queen. Yeah, he has a vision that she's the witch queen, and he tries to attack her.
Yeah.
In his basically his bad trip.
Right. So she gets him out of it, and they escape the building. And then it goes to her. Oh, she's like mad at him because
she's like,
she got his bar.
You burned my bar down, you know, get out of my life. If you're going to arrest me, arrest me. If you're not, I'm going to leave. She leaves.
Yeah.
Then she's drunk on absinthe and she wakes up and someone is in her apartment and it's that guy from earlier.
Yeah.
So why didn't he just grab her and do this before? I don't know. But he grabs her and sucks her into one of those root holes. And then all of a sudden, Vin Diesel calls her name, which is how we find out what her name is, pulls her out of the root hole, and now she wakes up and she's in Vin Diesel's sweet pad, and Elijah Wood is there totally wearing this bright white turtleneck. And I was like, yeah! For some reason, that made me laugh, and I loved it.
Well, he wore that turtleneck the rest of the movie.
So. He did. It was his costume for the rest of the movie. But I'm like, what is with this? Elijah Wood is back all of a sudden? Because it took us quicker to explain it than it did to happen.
Yeah.
So Elijah Wood's been out of the movie for at least a half an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he disappeared. So.
A root hole was at work.
Yeah. So they're talking. He's talking to the girl. He's like, I still need this memory potion. I still need to get into my memory to find out the secret because I need to save Michael Caine. Mm-hmm. So she's like, well, I got some ingredients at my friend's house, like the cone or the bar or whatever. Yeah. We need to go to her place and we'll get the ingredients. I'll make some more potion. So they go to her place. Walk in, and of course she's dead.
Of course,
kind of dead, mm-hmm. And all the ingredients are gone.
Yep.
So this guy had gotten to her too. So she's obviously upset, and
Vin starts putting the moves on her.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah. So
you learn a few things after 800 years.
You do.
So he goes. For some reason, they go. I can't remember how this transitions, but they go to like the fashion witch.
They go to like a fashion show,
yeah,
and they find a witch in the back. One of the hot models is like a witch, and she's kind of this, you know, kind of cool character, and she knows who Vin Diesel is, and she's like, oh, you know, should I help you? And she, I guess, makes memory potions too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, she's got some power that, yeah, well, she can get you into your memories.
Yes, so he decides to go with this. He goes into the memory, and literally 2 minutes later, something happens on the outside, and once again, he gets pulled out of the dream. So it's like, what? Why does this keep happening to him?
Well, this wasn't actually like a memory potion kind of thing. Like it was supposed to be a spell, kind of a fantasy, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, like his family never died.
She says, oh, I get it. She says, sure, I'll put you in your memory, and instead traps him in a false memory to keep him with his family. Yeah, yeah.
So she like curses them but Chloe knows what's happening, so she like pulls him out of it.
And this is where we learn. Because
she's got a power where she's a dreamwalker, which means you can go into your mind.
Yeah, which is apparently very dangerous because if you can enter people's dreams, you can also control their minds.
Yeah, it's a very Matrix like. Yeah. If you get hurt in your dream, you get hurt in real life.
Yeah. So she goes into his head and pulls him out of this, and he's very angry at the fashion witch,
mm-hmm.
and he. I can't remember what he even gets out of her, some information out of her about something.
I don't know what.
I can't remember where it goes next. I think it's more of like who's responsible for cursing Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. And then this is
basically where he learns that they're trying to bring back the the Witch Queen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we need the heart of the witch. And he's like, well, I killed that witch. Oh, really? Then why are you still alive kind of thing?
Yeah.
Something he really should have put together much sooner than 800 years ago.
Yeah. So then...
I just imagine one day in the middle of the 1500s, he's just sitting there eating lunch. Wait a second. If I'm still... Ah, shit.
But he never put it together.
Nope.
So where do they go from here then?
So now... Now Chloe crushes her little gem, which makes her into an old woman.
Yeah.
And then the blind guy leaves his bar. Yeah.
Becomes an old woman, not Chloe.
Yeah.
No, yeah, the fashion witch does, yeah. And then the old blind guy wanders into an alleyway and the bearded guy tortures him. And it turns out that the Dolans have been the keepers of the witch's heart.
The whole organization, the X and Cross. They've known about the witch's heart.
Now
you find out because how does he finally get into his memory? Oh, she makes a potion or something.
Chloe finally convinces Chloe to do it. Yeah, he says, Chloe, if you're a dreamwalker, you have to do this, and she doesn't want to, and he says, please, and she says, fine. He goes into the dream because she's been trying to keep it secret that she can go into people's dreams because she might get, you know, I don't know, arrested or killed by the witch hunter. So she goes in, and he finds out that the first Dolan, who apparently was this bearded cleric or whatever.
I think his name was actually Dolan. That's why they're referred to as Dolans. I think he gets like, Dolan, destroy the heart.
So basically, we should make, you know, because Andy's no longer on the podcast, we should bring in a random person and just call him the second Andy.
Yes.
And then when he dies, we'll bring in the third Andy.
Would I be the second Andy then?
So you'd be the second Andy. So you're the second Andy. That's your name from now on. Yeah. You're the second Andy. No. So then basically he finds out that Dolan was going to destroy the heart and kill the witch forever.
Yeah, you have to destroy the heart to kill the
witch.
But
he didn't want to kill Vin Diesel, who, even though he was charred, seemed to be still alive. So he said, yeah, the witch is dead, and he put the heart in his bag. And that's when Vin Diesel's like, that son of a bitch kept the heart alive! Yeah. And he goes to kick the crap out of Elijah Wood, who, what the hell does Elijah Wood know? He's like the lowest
in
his chain.
Well, he knows that... Yeah. And so basically what happens, you find out the X and Cross have been keeping the heart kind of hidden away and safe, just so that Vin Diesel stays alive, so they have some sort of weapon against the blind witches. Because the Axe and Cross is actually run by a council of witches, I think it shows. It was set up so that, you know,
council of good guy witches, you know, they're not all bad.
For a witch hunter, Vin Diesel's very chummy with witches.
Eventually a truce was reached where, bear in mind, I have been drinking throughout the movie, where they finally reached a truce where, okay, here's what we'll do. Witches can exist as long as they don't do magic to humans. And everything will be cool and copacetic and we'll be all fine. And so this council was set up. But they've been keeping the heart secret from Vin Diesel so that he's basically indestructible. And they've got a weapon to keep, you know, bad witches in line. And the implication in this scene is that Michael Caine had decided, like, no, we got to tell him. I'm going to tell him.
Right,
I'm going to destroy the heart. And that's why they tried to kill Michael Caine or get the information out of him, because he knew the location of where the heart was.
I don't know if they... Because I don't think it was them who did it. It was the other guys, because the other people were trying to get out of his information of where the heart was.
Well, because this is the scene where we find out that Elijah Wood... He wasn't saved from witches. His parents were witches.
But he's a muggle, so he doesn't have powers.
Yeah, somehow he doesn't have the powers. And he wants them to bring back the Queen Witch so he can...
Get powers.
So she can give him power, so he can be a witch or a warlock or whatever.
Someday he can be a real witch.
Yeah, that's right.
So he has to go to some... where was it? It was where the... I guess where the witches council was or whatever.
Yeah.
Before. He goes there. And where the bad guy witch was using the blind guy to bring back the queen witch somehow.
He stole the heart and then he was kind of like basically force the heart into his chest because she needs a living body to regenerate into.
So he turns the blind guy into the queen witch. Who then, when Vin Diesel shows up and is trying to kill the Queen Witch, she takes his immortality back.
But does she?
She does.
Okay, because I wasn't sure about that.
She does.
Now, for some reason, he's also using a shotgun against her, which I thought was kind of odd, because if it takes a flaming sword to kill a witch, what the hell are you using
a shotgun? Well, they didn't have shotguns then. Who knows? He never got a chance to test
it. It had an enchantment against witches. It's a plus 10.
What are bullets if not tiny little flaming swords?
It's true.
True. It's possible that they were flaming... bullets in the gun.
I should have done like a quick like bullet time thing on the shells or it's or the
I'm surprised they didn't with this movie. Yeah. The amount of effects this movie had in it. I'm surprised they didn't do a bullet time. Yeah.
So she takes his eternal life and says, like, oh, I wasn't actually giving you immortality. I was just having you hold it for me until I could come back, whatever. So she takes it from him. And then she, like, throws him against a thing and he gets, like, impaled in his shoulder. And he's like, oh, I can get hurt now. This sucks.
Yeah.
So he, he ends up killing the guy, which who, whatever, he's kind of wasted. And she shows up. Yeah,
it was kind
of
a
quick
death. It was kind of a punk death for this guy.
Yeah. So then Chloe and Elijah Wood show up, right?
Yes, and now Elijah Wood has got...
And this is before you find out that he's...
We find out eventually.
Yeah, in a minute. Yeah. But so they show up and they go into this place and they have to find the witch and kill her.
Yeah.
Some stuff happens.
Well, he fights the witch.
I think that's what it said. And he has the upper... stuff happens.
Basically. He has the upper hand. He fights the witch. Then he finds out that...
Like a giant... The sentinel or whatever it is. The big
monster who brings witches
to the witch prison.
Yeah.
So he fights that and destroys that.
Yep.
And then he finds the witch. He's about to kill her with the flaming sword. Like, somehow he finally realizes, like, oh, wait, I can use my flaming sword again.
Yeah.
So he, like, uses the flaming sword.
Yep.
And he's about to kill her, but then Elijah Wood pops out, and he's got Chloe, and he's got a gun to her head. And that's when he says, like, oh, I'm not actually a good guy. I'm a bad guy. Yep. And let the witch go, or I'll kill Chloe.
Damn you, Elijah.
You thought I was wearing the white turtleneck because I was a good guy.
Yeah. But at this
misdirection.
Point...
Misdirection.
At this point, I'm like... If they had actually, like, developed this character and made him actually part of the story, and then there was the double cross, then it'd be like, oh, you know, that is interesting. But it was like, oh, he wasn't there.
A lot of this movie was Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, by the way, this other piece of information I never gave you? Well, you're a dreamwalker. Then 5 minutes later, oh, well, dreamwalkers. It can help people get their memories back.
Which I've been trying to do the whole movie.
Oh, well, witch hunters don't have to pay high interest rates on credit cards.
So he... That's what happens now. So, okay. So the witch is like... he doesn't kill the witch. Elijah Wood's like, oh, witch, queen witch, please give me powers. I help bring you back, whatever. And she's like...
Of course.
She's like, ha ha, whatever. And then she kills him.
Yep.
Yeah, you got no powers. I got nothing for you. Yeah. See ya.
So then she puts, I'm trying to think of exactly what happens here, but she like puts...
She puts Vin Diesel in like a dream, which
Well, she puts Chloe in...
Oh, she puts Chloe in a dream that's a vision of what the world would be like if she took it over.
Yeah.
Right? To like mess with her.
Right. Or she does that to Vin Diesel, then she also puts Chloe in or something like that. I can't remember. But then Vin Diesel...
They both end up in this future vision of the dark world.
Yeah. But then Vin Diesel ends up breaking out of that somehow, and he kills the queen with his flaming sword. And then he glows, he gets his immortality back, I guess.
Okay.
She like curses him again, I guess. I don't know.
It reset.
Yeah.
Respawns. Then he's got the heart, he's gonna destroy the heart.
Yeah.
And Chloe convinces him not to destroy the heart because he's still needed.
Right. Keep living forever. So he's been spending this whole movie telling him how lonely he is because he lives forever and everyone dies around him. But then she's at the end, she's like, hey, keep living forever.
Yeah.
And there's not really any... Like, I don't know, she can live forever because she's a witch, and she's like, we'll live forever together, but...
I don't know. That would have been interesting.
Yeah. So he just decides not to destroy the heart and to keep being the witch hunter.
Yeah.
So that's the end, right? I can't remember.
Basically, that's it. It ends with Vin Diesel sitting on the bench talking to Michael Caine.
Oh, right. Yeah,
Michael Caine's okay. There's lots of work that needs to be done or whatever, and then all of a sudden it cuts to his little cabinet... Or whatever, in his
vault.
The heart's beating in the vault.
So is Michael Caine like the Grover Cleveland of the Dolans now, like two non-consecutive terms?
He's D36 and D38.
Yeah, it's...
Well, I think... Did he leave the accent cross, though? And
I think he's talking about...
Yeah, he's talking about how, like, oh, I don't know what to do now. I've never not been part of this. And, you know, and Michael Caine's like, oh, you just do your own thing. Just live life and we'll be old friends or whatever.
I like my Grover Cleveland idea. I just wanted to say the Grover Cleveland of the accent cross.
There's got to be one at least. No. This is where I was also confused because Vin Diesel says it's scary not knowing what to do next. And Michael Caine says we call that living. Right? So I'm like, wait a minute. Does that mean that Vin Diesel always knew what was going to happen? Like he had premonitions of the future?
No, it was just like the Axe and Cross told him what to do. They gave him assignments and he knew.
Got it.
Yeah.
So he never made choices for himself.
Now that he was unemployed, basically, he's like, I don't know what's next. Like,
kill more witches. Yeah. Kill more witches.
Freelance witch hunter.
That should be the you sequel. Can be hired out freelance.
Just sending out invoices. I hate to be a nuisance, but I've sent you a couple invoices. I haven't heard back yet.
Dead or alive.
So that was The Last Witch Hunter, which was not enjoyable for me.
The title of the film was a little misleading because one would think that there would have had to have been a first witch hunter. Now, obviously, his friends were technically witch hunters, but I always got the sense that that was more like a posse. Like, come on, let's kill this witch. And then after he was given immortal life, then he became a witch hunter. But it's not like there was a long lineage. Like, there were, like, hundreds of witch hunters, and over the years, they've all been killed, and he's the last one. Like, maybe kind of like in Highlander, maybe
he's still alive. There's a lot of things in this movie where, we forgot to tell you about this. I'm sure if there's a sequel, we'll find out there has been.
I'm sure there will be a sequel.
They did leave it open for one.
Yeah. The next Witch Hunter.
Yes.
So,
they won't be able to get Vin Diesel, so they'll find another actor. And they'll write some backstory about it. He had also eternal life.
Oh, they'll get Vin Diesel.
Yeah, they'll get Vin, We'll give you two Flaming Swords.
Vin Diesel will want to do it. He'll put up his own money to do it, I'm pretty sure.
A flaming axe?
If he played nothing but The Last Witch Hunter for the rest of his career, I think he'd be happy with that.
There you go.
Witch Hunter and Fast and Furious movies. Yeah. He's
it's bread and
just
butter.
Alternate between the two.
That's right. It is.
So I couldn't find anything really interesting on the movie besides the fact that, like I said earlier, that Vin Diesel, or he based his character on his own Dungeons & Dragons character.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's a huge fan of that.
Yes.
You know, it was a huge dream of his to play Dungeons & Dragons in real life. So I don't know if you guys thought this is so bad it's good, but I thought it was pretty forgettable.
I actually, of the movies I've seen for the podcast, I would say it's the second best.
What was the first best?
Knight Riders. Easily.
Well, clearly, yeah.
Which, by the way, actually, was this movie suggested by Christy?
It was not.
No.
Okay, for some reason I thought it was. Because no. I know she
gave me a list. She gave me a long list of good choices.
Because I know she suggested Knight Riders.
Yeah, that was a good choice.
So I would like to point out, Christy, you have still selected the best movie I've seen on this podcast.
It is. Did I give you your copy back, by the way? I might still have it. I'll bring it next time. I'll look for it and I'll bring it next time. But that what shocked me about Knight Riders is that it was good. It was just corny and chintzy. But there was like a lot of good. There was like good character development and like pathos and
This isn't something that you're going to be sitting there one day like, oh, you know what I want to watch? But this is something that when I'm flipping the channels and it's inevitably on TNT in a couple of years.
Yeah.
I'll be like, yeah, I'll watch for a couple commercial breaks. Mm-hmm. It's very, very much in the same vein as Blade.
Yeah.
Like just kind of, it's...
It's basically Blade, except...
Witches instead of vampires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought it was paced weird, and I just... Didn't
really... It was constructed pretty poorly. Yeah. Like, this might be something that someone might see on Redbox and be like, oh, yeah, it's got Vin Diesel in it, and then go home and watch it, you know? I mean, it didn't knock me out of the park. There was a lot of... It could have been a good movie. There's no way it would have been a critically acclaimed film, but it could have been a lot better than it was.
Yeah. It was enjoyable. I didn't feel like I wasted my time.
Yeah.
This is better than Fantastic Four.
Oh, yeah. That's easy. But it's no Monster Dog, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah. Monster Dog is tops.
Of course.
So, that'll do it for this episode. Join us in the future. Alex will be back, hopefully, for the next one. I know he's been waiting to do Karate Kid 3 for years.
Yes.
I don't know why we haven't done that one yet.
We are trying
to... He keeps talking about that one.
We're trying to bridge the gap and facilitate technologically the return of Brian Mueller.
Yes.
I'm not going to give a specific time as to when this is going to happen because I don't want to make any promises.
Get a hold of a Dreamwalker.
But we got to get a Dreamwalker in here. We got to find a memory of Brian and have him recreated here. No. We're going to effort sincerely him all the way from Oklahoma. We're going to get him to
via some channel.
Via the internet. The problem is hooking him up to our recording system.
Zero.
But it will happen. He's on Planet Zero, a.k.a. the Negative Zone. Question mark. So.
Yeah, so.
The Negative Zone?
We
just call it Planet Zero.
We eagerly await his return.
Yes.
And then hopefully someday we'll get Andy Wolf back on.
I would like to.
I'm doubting that.
He was actually talking about it the other day.
The first Andy,
I'm sorry. He'll be like...
I'll just have to go back to being First Nick again.
First Nick. There you go. First Nick.
So I guess that wraps it up. We'll be back soon. And thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.